This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to a Zaytuna College podcast.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadullah, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nasta'gfiruhu, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وصلواته وسلامه على أفضل خلق الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا رسول الله وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بالتقوى الله في السر والعلانية فإن خشية الله رأس الحكمة والله سبحانه وتعالى الحمد لله الذي أنزل كتابه على رسوله إنذارا وبشرى لمن آمن به وعمل عليه الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه العزيز امتنانا على أزواج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهل بيته واذكرنا ما يتلى في بيوتكن من آيات الله والحكمة إن الله كان لطيفا خبيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember the verses that are being recited in your homes. There were homes right next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid, which are still there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that these ayahs are being revealed in your presence. And then he says, wal hikmah. And this is what Imam al-Shafi'i said. The hikmah in the Qur'an is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the hikmah is the application of the ayat. So remember the blessing of not only having the ayat, but having an exemplar amongst you that's practicing the ayat. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after that, in the next ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, He gives a certain set of embodiments of the people that are of this dhikr. Right, with kurna, like remember, be reminded, remind yourselves. And he says, Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minat, wal-Qanitina wal-Qanitat, wal-Sadiqina wal-Sadiqat, wal-Sabirina wal-Sabirat, wal-Khashi'ina wal-Khashi'at, wal-Mutasaddiqina wal-Mutasaddiqat, wal-Sa'imina wal-Sa'imat, والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات وذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. Those 10 people are mentioned. They're all the same, but they're qualities that these people of the ayat and the hikmah embody. So, and then he says, أعد الله لهم مغفرة. Allah has prepared for them a مغفرة وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, and a vast reward. So if you look at these 10, he begins with المسلمين, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ, and the in there is for emphasis. Surely, verily, in truth, those people of Islam. Islam is the entrance into the door of the other nine. Right? Because Islam is انقياد لأوامر الله سبحانه وتعالى. It's a state of submission. المؤمنُ هيّنُ لينٌ إذا قيدًا قاد. A believer is easy and malleable. إذا قيدَ, when he is given direction from Allah, أنقاد, he accepts the direction. So the Islam is the انقياد لأوامر الله سبحانه وتعالى. So it's to obey الامتثال والانتهاء. You obey the commands of Allah and you avoid the prohibitions of Allah, and then you're a Muslim. It's an action of the heart and an action of the limbs. And limbs meaning jawarih, right? Not just what we say in English is a difficult word because the Arabs use it for the tongue, which is not considered a limb in English. But these jawarih, these seven aspects of your body that Allah has given you to protect, because they're the inroads to the heart. So all of these are inroads. And then Jannah has seven doors because each door corresponds to one of these limbs. And the worst and most difficult one is the tongue, which is why all the other limbs every morning, they're in a state of terror, in a spiritual reality that the Prophet told us about the tongue. right? Asking the tongue to be rightly guided, because they say, if you're إذا استقمت استقمنا, if you're straight, we're straight. وإذا عوجزت عوجزنا, and if you go astray, we go astray. That's all the limbs telling the tongue, which is why the Prophet said, ألا أدلكم على ملاكي هذا كله, can I tell you what you can get everything? He said, أمسك على هذا, like take hold of your tongue, guard your tongue. And this is why the ancients knew this. This wasn't limited to Islam. One of the great Chinese sages, he said, because people wanted to rectify the kingdom, they first rectified themselves. And in wanting to rectify themselves, they first rectified their own homes. And then in wanting to rectify their own homes, they rectified themselves. And in wanting to rectify themselves, they rectified their actions. And in wanting to rectify their actions, they rectified their tongues. So everything emanates from there. All wars start with words. You know, all hatefulness is expression. It's all expression. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he begins by the believers, the Muslims. And then he tells the Arabs, قَالَ تَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. The Arabs, they say, we believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say we believe. لا تقولوا آمَنَّا وَلَكِنْ قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Say first that you submit, and then, because your iman has not yet entered into your heart. So first say, we submit. So it begins with inqiyad li awamir Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innal muslimina wal muslimat. And the reason that this is one of the few verses in the Quran where the women are mentioned alongside the men, and this came from a complaint from one of the women. They said, Allah yadhkur al-rijal wa la yadhkurna ya Rasulullah. After that, the ayahs began to incorporate both the dhakar and the untha, which is an indication that if you don't speak up, you don't get your rights, right? You have to voice something in order for something to change. It's a clear indication of that if you don't speak up, things don't change. So then he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ إِيمَان. Right? What is إِيمَان? إِيمَان is تصديق. وفسر الإيمان بالتصديق ونطق فيه الخلف بالتحقيق. You should have learned that iman is conviction in the heart. It's عمل القلب. It's not. It doesn't relate to the جوارح. The جوارح is Islam. The heart is iman, right? And then والقانيتين. The قانيتين are the people that are in. Because you can be a Muslim and be outwardly in a state of submission, like the munafiqun, but it's not penetrated the heart. So the iman penetrates the heart. Once the iman penetrates the heart, then the qunut is the ta'a. It's an internal state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you're doing the actions based on an inner conviction, not just on because other people are doing it. There's people in the Muslim world still to this day that it's merely a cultural expression. It becomes a cultural identity. There are certain countries where everybody prays, so they pray, whether they believe it or not. Or because the mutawwa is telling them, go into the masjid, they go into the masjid. So the qunut is, and that's why salat al-qunut is where at fajr, the time when you should call on Allah more than any other time. And this is why even in Surah Yusuf, when his sons ask him to ask forgiveness for what they did, he says, I will, right? In the future, he uses the sa, because in the tafsirs they say he was going to wait till Fajr to do that, because that's the best time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then mu'mineen wa mu'mineen wa qanitin wa qanitin wa sadiqeen wa sadiqat. Kunu ma'a sadiqeen ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Be with truthful people. The hallmark of our faith is sidq, which is related to ikhlas, which is related to sadaqah. And so the sidq is very important. This is why the Prophet ﷺ كَنَ أَصْدَقَ النَّاسِ, and his closest companion was called a Siddiq. He has the highest maqam. And the Siddiqun are immediately after the prophets because they're the people of Sidq, which is absolute authenticity and integrity. So their inward and their outward are the same. There's no separation. They're completely a whole human being. They don't have the shadows gone. You know, if you look, shadows only exist when there's some kind of inclination of the sun. But when the sun's directly overhead, the shadow disappears. When the truth is directly, if you're perfectly aligned with the truth, the shadow self disappears. There's nothing there. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing that you're ashamed of. And people, you know, I lived with a man, Marab Tarhaj, who lived in an open tent for his whole life. It was an open book. Everybody saw him. You could see him 24/7. The open book. It's rare to see that, but he was an open book. One man saw him once in a dream. He was ashamed to say, but he said, I saw a man praying naked. And he went to somebody known for interpretation of dreams, and he said, I saw this one of our righteous people praying naked. I didn't understand it. He said, that could only be Marab Tarhaj. Right? Because the sitr, the clothes are for sitr. So if you have nothing to hide, then you're naked before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're always in reality naked before Allah. That's why on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're naked. Because that's the reality of the human condition. Allah sees everything. So sitq. And then because when you're truthful, you're going to have problems. Tawasul bil-haqqi, right? Haqq is from sitq. Tawasul bil-haqqi, and then tawasul bil-sabr. Because whenever you're truthful, you're going to have people react against you. It's just the nature of dunya. Because this place is a place of tribulation. Truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne. This is dunya. Truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne. Yet the scaffold sways the future. And beyond the dim unknown standeth God in the shadows, keeping watch over His own. For dunya, falsehood reigns. It's the nature of the abode. But the akhirah, it's all, امتازوا يوم إذن أيها المجرمون. Now, distinguish yourselves. Here, it's darul ikhtilat. Dunya is an abode, a mixed abode. خَدَطُوا عَمَلًا صَارِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيَّا. People mix good and evil together. Ours is of a mingled yarn, good and ill woven together. That's the nature of dunya. But in the akhirah, pure distinction. امتازوا. They're over there, they're over there. And even on the sirat, when the makalib come, these iron, they're like machines, they're some kind of scanning machine that scans the human being. Now we see all these machines, they put them in machines, they scan you, they look at your whole body. These are things that Allah created that scan your soul. And if there's iman, if there's like still jahiliya or something in it, it'll clamp on, and then the iman will fight with it. This is in the hadith on the sirat. And these are huge. The Prophet said they're made out of, they're like clamps. And he said they're vast machines that are made out of iron. And they clamp on. Because they scan the human crossing the sirat and they see, just like a scanner sees like a tumor. These scanners, they see the reality of your soul. And that's why the Prophet said, help me on the sirat. And the Prophet is at the other end of the sirat, saying, Allahumma sallim, sallim. You know, help, like save them. Because these are his people. But these some of them get thrown into the hell. They just ride off the sirat. They're just picked up and thrown. These are haqa'iq. They're amazing haqa'iq that only a modern person could understand. Because at the time, they didn't have science fiction. But that's what it would seem like to the sahaba hearing that. About a sirat and these machines that scan the soul and then clamp on. Who could imagine those things? In the 7th century. It's amazing. So that's the reality. You know, sitq, when you have sincerity, this is what you're going to have patience. Right? ولا نبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. We're going to test you. And the Quran says, ولا نبلونكم. It's Allah doing it. When he talks about the Al-Fir'aun, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Al-Fir'aun, يسومكم سوء الأذاب ويذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم. That was from your Lord. The enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt, Allah says it was from your Lord. It wasn't from, well, who do you think is controlling this world? Allah enables some people to have power over other people as a test. Look at the dua of the Prophet. لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا. Don't put people over us because of our sins. And this is where the Muslims go wrong, because they go into this Marxist idea that this is somehow only about this world. There's no reality determining events in this world. And then it just becomes politics and power. That's all it becomes. No. When Allah puts people over you, is a tribulation from Allah, right? And that's why he says, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم. Like, remember God's blessing on you. When he saved you from the people of Fir'aun, and that those ayahs end with تَأَذَّنَا رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Despite the fact he's telling them how horrible they had, now you're out of it, so be grateful that you're out of it, because what got you into it was ingratitude. That's what got you into it in the first place. And that's why sabr is the essence of this religion. Ramadan is coming. They call it, it's the month of sabr, because it's supposed to teach us patience dealing with food. People, if they miss a meal, they become cranky and angry because there's no patience, right? Sabrun jameel. Look at Yaqub. It's an amazing chapter in the Quran, Surah 12. He lost his son, but he never lost faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, sabrun jameel. I will be in a beautiful patience. What is beautiful patience? You don't complain. That's sabrun jameel. Sabr, you can complain to people, right? But it doesn't help. People don't like hearing your complaints, right? Kvetching, you know, shakwa. People don't like to hear it. Allah loves to hear complaints. You want to complain? Complain to God. Because Allah loves to hear your complaints. Not about Him, about yourself. Because all the problems are from your own selves. That's where it is. إِنَّمَا بَغِيُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Your wrongs are against your own souls. مَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ كَانُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظَلِمُونَ. We did not oppress them, but they were oppressing themselves. But people don't want to do this. They don't want to admit that we all have responsibility here. All of us. Everybody's responsible. There's no innocence in the Quran. Children, yes. There's definitely oppression and things like that. But Allah is reminding us that, understand, there's only two things happening. It's either rafa' darajat, Allah is elevating you with tribulation, or He's removing sins. With the Prophet, He was elevating him. Nobody had a more difficult time. And yet you never hear the Prophet complain. Show me one hadith where he complains about Quraysh. In fact, at Ta'if, his complaint is himself. He didn't say, these evil Quraysh, look what they're doing to me, Ya Allah. He's saying, أَشْكُ إِلَيْكَ أَبُثُ إِلَيْكَ, you know, شَكْوَتِ, I'm going to complain to you. ضُعْفَ حِيلَتِي, my lack of strategy. Like, I've tried all these things, none of them worked. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. He didn't say, إِهَانَةَ النَّاسِ إِيَايَا. He said, my humiliated condition amongst the people. That's what he complained about. He complained about himself. Show me where he complains about them. And then when the angel came and said, look, we can just destroy them all now. They humiliated him. They spat on him, threw rocks at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah sent the angel of adab and said just one word, and they're gone. He said, no, I hope that their children will worship Allah. That's a different worldview right there. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and in the tafsirs they say this is tanbihum min Allah, get prepared. If you're in ease, get prepared for hardship. And when you're in hardship, know that the ease is coming. But when you're in ease, get prepared for hardship, because that's the nature of the abode. And all these people out here, they just want to make paradise here. Paradise will never be here. It'll never be here. The disease is going to come. The financial downturn is going to come. The fire in your house is going to come. You know, the loss of life. That's what Allah says. I'm going to test you with all these things and give good news to the people of patience. Right? وَالْخَاشِعِينَ إِنَّ الْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ خُشُوعَ. The difference between khushu' and other types of fear is the khushu' is always from somebody who recognizes he's under the makhshu' lahu. Khushu' is always recognizing that you're under, because you can have fear but think we'll get him later, you know, a situation. You can have fear of somebody but you can't wait to get into power so you can crush him. Khushu' is where you know this person is, or this reality is above you. It's different from that. And then some say خَشِعَةَ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ, that khushu' is a type of humbleness, an internal humbleness that leads to speaking humbly. You're not shouting, you're speaking humbly. Once the Sahaba were at a place, they were about to do battle, and they started raising their voices. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! And the Prophet said, أَرْبَأُ بِأَنفُسِكُمْ. You know, just control yourself. Your Lord is not deaf. The Prophet didn't like shouting. He didn't like arbada. He didn't like... They said, مَا كَانَ صَخَابًا فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ, in the hadith. He rarely raised his voice in the marketplace. That's a place where... because the marketplace of the pre-modern people is more like a flea market where people call out and say what they have. So he didn't even raise his voice in the marketplace where it was acceptable, let alone other places. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ. One thing about sabr I wanted to mention, that this idea, لَنَبْرُوَنَّكُمْ is لَنُصِيبَنَّكُمْ. That's how they interpret it in the tafsirs. Allah will give you musibah. He will send a musibah. But when that comes, there's istirja. It's a reminder to yourself, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I belong to Allah. In other words, I'm the mulk of Allah, and He can do whatever He wants with His dominion. You cannot, dhulm is never, if I own this place, and I decide to burn this rug, and I go out and get an incinerator and burn the rug, nobody can tell me I have no right to do it, because it's my property. It's my mulk. And so Allah, because He owns us, He can't oppress us. He can do whatever He wants. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدْ لَا يُسَرُوا عَمَّا يَفْعَلُهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He's not asked about what He does, but you will be asked about what you do, because you are property. We are property. We belong to Allah. We are the mulk of Allah. تبارك الله الذي بيده الملك, right? تبارك الذي بيده الملك. It's His mulk. It's in His dominion. It's in His power. And so accepting that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. There will be no affliction that comes to you except by the permission of Allah. And then look what Allah says, ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. But if you believe in Allah, when that affliction comes, He will guide your heart to a state of tranquility, because you know where it's from. And you know that not only is He have every right to send you the tribulation, but He's preparing you for the akhirah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, fatahtasib 'inda Allah. You consider it something that's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He says, صَدَقَ وَصَدَقَةُ burhan, أَنْفِقُوا. You know, this is one of the proofs of our religion is infaq, of giving out. The Prophet, كَانَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ وَأَجْوَدَ مَا كَانَ فِي رَمَضَانِ. He was the most generous of men. The most generous time is Ramadan. This is why Muslims, it's amazing what you see in Ramadan, because they know this is the time that you should be most generous. But bukhal and bad character cannot be joined in a believer. You can have a bakhil who's a believer, and you can have somebody who's got bad character who's a believer, but you can't get the two together. And once the Prophet asked, "Who's your Sayyid?" And they said, "Fulan, illa nastabkhiluhu." But you know, he's a miser. He said, "How can a Sayyid be a miser? The whole point of a Sayyid is that he gives, that he's always helping and spending." And then he says, "Wahal hunaka da'un adwa min al-bukhli?" Is there any disease worse than miserliness? It's a sickness. So those are the mutasaddiqeen. Was-sa'imeen, was-sa'imat, and the people of fasting, you know, the people of imsak. And fasting has spiritual meanings. We could spend many, many hours just on looking at all those different, you know, sumu, tasahu, fast and become well, safiru, tasahu, right? And then finally, the hifd al-furuj and dhikr. So hifd al-furuj is related to sabr and fasting, right? And especially for young people because it's more difficult for them. But hifd al-furuj is the essence of preserving a civilization. Once you get what we're seeing in this culture, this is the worst sign for a culture. The Prophet ﷺ said, "You will never see illegitimate children emerge in a civilization except Allah is preparing them for adab, that civilization." يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَعُمَّهُمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. It's a preparation. And the adab is those children. Because every child should know who its parents are. And now even worse, they don't even know, you know, it's like test tube putting, you know, they don't even know who their father was. You know, these are bad signs. So hifd al-furuj is one of our five universals in the religion to protect the family, to protect also the diseases. We have all these diseases now. They have a new candida, which I guarantee you came out of STDs. It's got 30 to 60% mortality. They're very worried about it, candida auris. These are all, you know, they don't talk about the public health issues of promiscuity and especially what they call men on men. That, they don't even say homosexual, they just say men on men, right? Because they know that that's the most dangerous form. That's what the World Health Organization says. The most dangerous form of sexual practice is rectal intercourse. But no, there's nothing, no public service announcements warning people about this. It's on the opposite. They say, "Oh, it's a love conquers all." They'll warn you about trans fats. One hamburger won't kill you. They'll warn you about smoking cigarettes. You can smoke for 2, 3, 4 years, give it up, and your lungs will recuperate. But they won't warn you about a certain type of sexual practices that could be literally a death sentence. This is something very sick about this culture. And we have to feel pity for the people, especially the young people that have been seduced into believing that these things are healthy or normal or you're expressing yourself. No. What Allah has given us is to protect us from our own selves. So it's a blessing to have that. Hifd al-furuj is very important in our deen, chastity, iffah. And traditionally, iffah was the virtue of women. You can't even say that anymore. They'll say you're sexist. But the only time, the few time in our tradition where women are put before men is with zaniya to zani. Because the woman, the man is like an animal. Really, it's like an animal. So the woman has to help that man help himself. That's an onus. And that's why it's not that men should be chaste and virtuous, but there is an onus on the woman to dress modestly. You can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because it's sexist. A woman should be able to dress the way she wants. So if you're, you know, if you're walking in the woods and there's a sign that says danger, do not enter into this area because there's mountain lions that are going to eat you. So I just say, "Oh, well, I'm free. I don't have to listen to that sign." And then you say, "Oh, well, you can't compare that." No, there are humans that are like lions, worse than lions, because the lion will just take what it needs. It's just out for lunch. This is an amazing problem in our civilization, why people can't see these things. And modesty is a hallmark of every civilization. The more primitive a culture gets, the less clothes they wear. But if you look at the culture, the reason they don't have to wear clothes is because they're tight-knit. And this has been studied by anthropologists. They're taboo societies. They're very tight-knit. And so they don't transgress. Other tribes will transgress them. But within their tribe, they have very strict rules that they follow. Whereas in civilized societies, there's anonymity. You don't know people, and you don't know who you're dealing with. You might be dealing with a pedophile, or you might be dealing with somebody who's really sick in their mind. You might be dealing with somebody who's watching all this pornography, and then he gets into a frenzied state and goes out. You know, these are realities. And we know that women that cover themselves are generally not... we've seen these things that they've done, these social experiments of walking around New York in a hijab, or walking around dressed seductively, and the difference between the attitudes of the people. But they deny all this. They say, no, the onus is on men to stop behaving like animals. Good luck. Really, good luck. It's unfortunate, but that's a reality. Just read about fraternities and what they do and how they humiliate women and things like that. If you don't have religion, you know, well, ظُلْمُ مِنْ شِيَ مِنْ نُفُوسِ, right? Oppression is it's of our nature. It's part of the human nature. And the only thing that prevents that is, you know, فَإِن تَجِدْ دَعِفَةً فَلِعِدَّةً لَا يَظْلِمِي. If you see somebody who has iffah, chastity, and doesn't oppress, doesn't rape or pillage, it's because there's something preventing them from doing it. It's either the society, they're afraid of the law, or it's religion. It's something in their heart, or a goodness that Allah gave them. And that's why men in war, they rape and pillage. There's people from here, we know, there were people from here, normal high school kids, that went to Iraq and they raped women. And we know what the Bosnians did, right? The Serbs did to the Bosnian women. And these were normal people living next door to you. But when it breaks down, who suffers? Women and children. So Allah, when He says that, wal hafidina, فُرُوجُهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, you know, this is an important part of our religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَّكَرِينَ اللَّهَ, right? ذَكَرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَّكِرَاتِ, those who do much remembrance of Allah, because that will give you all of those things. And for students of knowledge, your dhikr is your study and your mumarasa and your mudhakara and your hifz. That's the dhikr of talibu ilm. You should have very small word or something that you do in the morning and the evening, and then from the Quran. The best thing at this stage is memorization of Quran. But the devotional people, the people of Zawaya and things like that, they're not generally people of knowledge. They're people of devotion. People of knowledge, their dhikr is study. And that's why the Prophet, when he came to the masjid, one group was doing dhikr. They were reciting Quran and doing subhanallah. Another group was studying. He said, إِنَّمَا بُعْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. He went and sat. He didn't sit with the people doing the dhikr of awrat. He sat with the people doing dhikr of halal and haram. Right? And this is why some of the salaf said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضَ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. If you pass by the circles of the gardens of paradise, then take some, you know, graze for a while, right? And then they asked him, what were the hilq, the Riyadh al-Jannah? He said, hilq al-dhikr, right? And one of the great scholars of the Salaf, Ibn Rabah, said that it's hilq al-fiqh, al-halal wal-haram, right? Studying these things. This is what people need. They need guidance, you know? So أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين استغفروا الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه الحمد لله نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى أعد رمضان للمؤمنين شهر صبر وشهر صيام وصفدت فيه الشياطين. Ramadan, we're on the doors of Ramadan. This is a good time. One of the people, the Salaf, he once passed by. He once passed by somebody who was reciting or singing, but this man was like somebody who, whatever he heard, it reminded him of Allah. So the man was singing about drinking alcohol. You know, he said, "Ida wallat ishruna min sha'b, ida ishruna min sha'bana wallat, fawasil shorba ladika bin nahari, wada tashrab bi aqdahin sigari, fi qaddaqa zamanu ala sigari." You know, when the 20th of Sha'ban comes, because Ramadan's coming, start drinking a lot, right? Because you have to give it up in Ramadan. And then he said, and don't drink with small goblets, drink with big bowls so you can get a lot. So he heard that and he saw it as, he had just turned 40. So he saw it as like he's now at 40. And he just went to Mecca and became Sayyih Lillah. There's a story. But we're, Nisf Sha'ban is here, and just about Nisf Sha'ban, the people of Sham considered it a devotional night. Imam al-Awza'i's madhab has a ta'zim of Nisf Sha'ban. The Malikis, Imam Malik did not recognize it. So there's a khilaf, don't get involved in the khilaf. Even though I'm Maliki, Ibn Rushdin radiallahu anhu said, whenever you have a khilaf about the rahmah of Allah, always go with the side that says there's more rahmah. So it's a good, it's just, I would use it as an opportunity to get some barakah, inshallah. The niyyah is there, innama al-amalu bin niyyat, and it's min fada'il al-amal. So the hadith are weak and things like that. But anyway, the people of Sham at the time of the tabi'in considered it a big night. So it's coming, I think, tomorrow night. Anyway, and then, so this is a good time, these next 15 days to prepare for Ramadan. If you haven't been reciting Quran on a regular basis, I would try to start now so that when Ramadan comes, you're already in the, you know, in the momentum of it. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ولا تنسوا اذكروا الله سبحانه وتعالى كثيرا اللهم إنا نسألك التوفيق والسداد والرضا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم انزل علينا رحمتك اللهم بارك في أمتنا اللهم خفف عنهم هذه المصائب التي نزلت بهم يا رحم الرحمين اللهم خفف عن إخواننا حيث تكون الحروب والفتن خاصة في أهل اليمن اللهم عد إليهم رشدهم وعقولهم يا رحم الراحمين واصلح بينهم نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفق إخواننا في الشرق الأوسط إن شاء الله أن يخفف عنهم وأن يتصالح في هذا رمضان ويجعله شهر رحمة ومغفرة وعتق من النار نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعمنا برحمته وأن يغفر لنا ويتوب علينا إن الله سبحانه وتعالى تواب رحيم نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينزل البركة في هذا المكان وأن يجعلنا إن شاء الله قائمين بالحق حيثما كان وأن دائما يسدد خطانا ويوفقنا لما تحب وترضى يا رحم الراحمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أقيموا الصلاة لذكري إن شاء الله.
Thank you for listening. Support Zaytuna College today by visiting zaytuna.edu/give.